streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is February 13th, 2013. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Ms. Susan Jones. Ms. Jones was new. Boyd, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, the call dropped.
Hello? The whole technical difficulty. So we're going to start over because I'm not sure exactly what was heard. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today's February 13th, 2013. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Ms. Susan Jones. She is a survivor of domestic violence. She was nearly beaten to death earlier this year, and now she's going public and hoping that her story will help other women to be strong and leave abusive relationships. So before we bring Susan onto the show, let me welcome Boyd.
Hey, I would like to just thank everybody for tuning in every week on the show. And once again, we would just like to give a big shout-out to all of our soldiers in prison across the country who educate our youth. And we would like to thank all our soldiers in the streets that educate our youth as well, that the streets don't love you back, and it's a better way in life be trying to be a thug. So without that being said, we're going to turn the mic over to our guest, and she's going to formally introduce herself and tell her powerful story, and we hope it helps someone tonight.
Susan?
Yes. Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Susan. Where did you grow up at?
In Oklahoma.
So you grew up and continue to live in Oklahoma?
Yes, I've always lived here.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about what life was like growing up in Oklahoma.
Oh, gee, it's a pretty normal life. Just lived in a small town. It was okay.
All right. That's all right. Just pretend you're just talking to me and Rob on the phone, like we have before. So you got married and have how many kids?
5 kids and 10 grandkids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what happened. I mean, obviously, maybe things weren't always like that. I mean, when did it start? What happened?
Just last, the summer before last, I guess. He just had lost his job a couple years before, had a couple surgeries, and just started getting depressed and sitting at home, not doing anything, trying to get on workman's comp, and started getting jealous. And then I guess everything just started eating on him. I mean, we got along okay, fair anyway, up to that point, up to that night.
How long were you together up to that point?
Well, we got married back in 1983 and got divorced in 92 and then got back together in 2000. So we were together 12 years this last time.
Okay. So you were together quite a while, off and on. And
yeah.
Was he ever abusive before?
The first time, two or three times maybe. I know once he slapped me, and another time that he got mad at me for something stupid and kicked me, and I had bruises on my back and my chest and stomach. And of course, you know, it's so, you know, you leave them and take them back.
Mm-hmm.
What I did. And he just had a temper. You know, get mad, yell a lot. But other than that, that was really the only physical abuse.
Was he ever verbally abusive through all those years?
Yeah, there was a lot of mental abuse. You know,
mental,
say
verbal
things about me. And, yeah, just, you know, talk, look down on me, say things to me, make me feel disgusting, and of course no self-esteem the time I left him. It was pretty low. So I'd try to talk to him, and he'd wave his hand like, hurry up, you know, finish the conversation. Didn't want to listen to me.
So here in part of what you wrote me, you said he got mad and he pulled a 12-gauge on me. We fought over that, and then he began beating me with his fist and strangling me.
Right.
Tell us what happened that night.
That night, that was December 29th. Me and my oldest daughter and son and two or three grandkids were at the house with him. We were playing old-fashioned Wahoo game, which is like aggravation, you know, with the marbles and dice.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been playing, and he was really quiet. He didn't really say anything. And after we'd got done, he was wanting some fingernail polish, I guess, to paint the little holes on the board. And I told him I didn't have any, and he was jealous and was saying I was lying to him, and he's getting all mad and saying a bunch of crazy stuff. And I went on to bed, and my kids left. And then he got on my cell phone, was sitting in the living room looking on the cell phone, going through it, I guess, checking messages and stuff. And then he came to bed. He got naked, got in the bed, and said, I remember him saying, hook a brother up and get me on your Facebook. And so I did. I just laid there, and he just started going crazy again, yelling and stuff. And I didn't say anything to him, so I got up, and I walked into the living room and sat down. And then he came in there and started yelling at me, and I wouldn't say anything to him. And so he said, I know what, I'll take care of this. And he got up, or he walked into the bedroom, and I thought, oh, God, this is not good. And so he went in there, and I got up and started walking that direction. And here he came in. We met in the kitchen, and he had the 12-gauge in his hand. So I went to grab for it, and we struggled over that all the way back into our bedroom. And got between the bed and the wall. It was like 2.5 feet maybe. And we fought over it, and I got it stuck behind the headboard, and it went through the wall. And we got it where it broke open and fell apart. And then I remember he got on top of me and got me in a chokehold. We were fighting on the floor. And then he said something and went to grab the barrel of the shotgun, I guess, to hit me with it or something. And anyway, we got, he didn't get that. And somehow in that time I got up and my cell phone was laying on the bed and I went to reach for it. And when I reached for it, he was saying, oh, no. And he grabbed my hand and I, that phone pocket dials real easy. And I guess it was on that, on the page where you could call people, and it happened to call my friend and we didn't even realize it. And I don't know what happened to the phone, but anyway, he got me back on the ground and was choking me. And I was, I remember laying on my back with his hands around my neck thinking, I'm taking my last breath. I'm never going to see my grandkids or my kids again. And anyway.
You thought you were going to die that night.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, right then and there, that was it. I was going to die. And so, for some reason, he let go. And I ended up getting turned around. Well, I guess we fought some more and got turned around with my head down by the bedroom door at the end of the bed. And he was naked this whole time. And sitting on, he ended up sitting on top of me, like my waist. And he would say something to me, and I would look at him. And it didn't matter if I looked at him and didn't answer him, or it didn't matter what I said. He would make a fist, and he would pull his, like, his right hand back and hit me on the side of my left head. And then sometimes he would do it, like, the left side, the right side, the left side again. And I tried to block him a few times, and he would headbutt me. Hit me like the forehead and the nose with his head. I remember him doing that two or three times to me. And I was yelling for God to help me. And he told me, he said once, he said, God's not going to help you because he hasn't helped me any. And then, of course, I was telling him, David, think about your grandkids and your kids. And he said, that didn't matter. He didn't care. I can't remember what else he said, something that didn't make sense, but anyway, he didn't care, you know, and he said, you know what I'm going to do to you, so I'm going to duct tape you, cut your hair, put you in the bathtub until you tell me what I want to know, and then I'm going to drag you to the neighbor's burn pile, set it on fire, and then make you watch me blow my head off. And, of course, I'm thinking, yeah, I am going to die for sure. And I'm praying the whole time, hoping my son, who was my youngest son, who's about 23, he was staying with us, and he was out that night, and I'm just praying he's going to walk in the door any time where I can yell at him to help me. But anyway, I said something to, telling him, David, I love you, please. Think about your grandkids. I love you. I won't tell anybody. And he said, he bent down and he was looking at my right, my left eye. That was the worst one. And he said, with that eye, he said, there's no going back now. And he hit me again. And he did that for a while. He hit me. And he just stopped and he sat up for a second. He got up and he sat at the foot of the bed, on the side of the bed with his arms down, and he said, I'm done. Do what you got to do. And I'm thinking, he's just taking a breath. He's going to kill me. So I got up and I sat down beside him. I said, babe, I love you. Come on, give me a hug. I won't tell nobody I love you. You know, it'll be okay. And he just sat there. And about probably 15 seconds later, you hear a little knock, knock on the door or on the side of the trailer. And it's like probably 1 o'clock, 1:30 by now. And thinking, who, you know, I thought maybe it was a dog or something wagging its tail. And I said, I wonder who that is. And he said, you know who it is. So I got up and I walked to the door. And he got up and I opened the door. And I kind of looked out and I didn't see anybody. And I go to shut it. And you hear there's somebody, it's police, you know, come outside. David's standing in the doorway and started walking over toward the other side of the house, the bedroom where the guns were. And he told me, shut the door and lock it. And just impulse, stupid me, went to shut the door and lock it. And then I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? If you shut this door and lock it, you're going to die. So I opened the door, and I went out, and I told the policeman he has a gun in there. And I started off the porch, and the policeman ran out to get his shotgun. And as I was walking down my steps and down the sidewalk, my oldest daughter pulled up and got me in the car and took me on to the hospital. And then David, he was in the house, I think, 5 hours with almost a dozen policemen outside trying to talk him out.
Wow.
He was in there threatening to kill himself, which he didn't do.
So they took him to jail that night, and he's been there ever since?
He's been there since January 29th, 2012. And I've gone to court a few times, and one time, I was sitting in the courtroom, and I looked over at him, just, you know, curiosity, you have to look at him sometimes, and he stuck his finger up to his neck and did the little, like, slit and throat motion, like, three different times at me. So I went and told the deputy, and the deputy got hold of the DA, and the DA went in there to talk to him. I stood outside the court, out in the hallway by the door. And this was right before the judge walked in. The DA, I guess, told him this is what's going to happen. And David started to say something. The DA told him to be quiet. And David, I guess, exploded, told him not to tell him to shut up. People have been telling him to shut up for the last few months. And he exploded. And about the time he exploded, the judge walked in and gave him 6 months contempt of court for the outburst in the courtroom. So he had to serve that 6 months. So, and they gave him a charge of intimidating a witness.
Okay.
Added that to his other three charges.
Well, so you go, you have to wait until April to go back to court?
Yeah, he goes April. They're, I guess, doing like the jury and the discovery and everything. And he's pled not guilty and has requested a jury trial.
And so what are all the charges against him?
He's got misdemeanor domestic violence, which that was because he picked up a cement block and a knife a couple months before all this happened. I forgot to mention that. And he called the police that night trying to say I was abusing him. And they gave him a misdemeanor domestic assault, and then he's got the felony domestic assault by strangulation, intimidation of a witness, and use of a firearm in a commission of a felony.
Wow. Well, hopefully he'll stay in there for a long time and not be able to come out, you know, but like you said, the sad thing about it is that, you know, your kids lost their dad, the grandkids lost their grandfather, and, you know, just, it's just hurt a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, and I can't see the life of me. Yeah, I can't see the life of me. How can he just go in the courtroom and tell me not guilty and hit this woman damn near half dead? I mean, come on,
right,
man. Is you insane or what? You know? I mean, you going to jail, bro, point blank, you know?
I guess he thinks he can prove that he was crazy or something.
No,
they get the,
for that no more.
Yeah, they already sent him to the mental hospital to be evaluated and said he is competent to stand trial.
Thank
he understands
you.
Everything.
They ain't on that no more with this domestic violence thing, you know, at period.
Right.
And they're going to make a good example out of him down there in Oklahoma. You can best believe that.
I think him throwing a fit in front of a full courtroom, testing the DA, is not going to help his case at all.
The DA already don't like him. So he best can believe them charges is going to stick all the way to the gate. So he might well get set. You know what I mean? If he smokes cigarettes, he might well get set to be asking for cigarettes on the yard in the real joint.
Yeah, they offered him a plea bargain of 7 years, and he turned that down, and she said she wasn't playing no more.
Ain't no plan.
He really thinks the jury's going to go his way, huh?
Yeah, I guess he thinks so.
When they see them pictures and all of that, my man going to get about 15 or 20 years on that case. Trust and believe that. He going to wish he would have took that seven.
The DBIS lady and the drug detective that was there that night that did the negotiating to get him out of the house, he said he will, what they think, he'll have to serve about 18 years. They're hoping.
And they're going to make sure he's standing, trust me.
Yeah,
he's going to be the example in Oklahoma. He's going to be the example. Watch.
That's what I'm thinking. He should have never did the outburst in court. I think that's what hung him. They're going to set an example.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm hoping. And then me and a friend and some other people plan on doing some picket signs that week at the courthouse about domestic violence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then the news station that did my article about Facebook, he told me to let him know when it's going to start because they probably will be there.
Good. So, well, let's take a quick break, Susan. We're going to play a song and let you get your thoughts together, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about you coming out into the public and sharing your story and what you've done since then. So we're going to go to a song called Brown Sugar by Maserati Rick Jr., a young, fresh, new artist out of Detroit, Michigan.
Have a dream, show some love, and take a ride down memory lane. Just me and her, listening to music that I love. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, girl, listening to hip hop. Mama used to say it reminded her of bebop, but dancing to Michael, see the music is a cycle. Remembering good times, Soul Train is really a good thing. I'm feeling too good, nah. I might just need a drink, might just reminisce. I know that she's feeling this. She listening to Mary J. Baby girl, looking good, and she came my way. Let's play some OJ's. Let's unwind, slow it down, two step. Now nah, clap with me one time. She feeling good too, like it's summertime. Girl, I get around. In my hometown, you can come too. I love you like soul food for the love that we had. I put on some Pendergrass and light up a candle. She feeling that heat wave. We dance the night away. Shout out to the DJ for playing the right one. He put on another song. It sound like Marvin Gaye or maybe some Isley's. No matter where we be, she be right beside me. We go good together like sugar, honey, and tea. Loving memory lane. I play her another song. Now she feeling candy rain in the soul for real. Telling her how I feel. Now she wanna take a trip with me around the world. Feeling like I'm in love. And I hope that she feel what I feel, so I know that it's real. So I know that it's real. Memory lane, thinking of summer days, telling me how she feel, listen to Lauryn Hill, beautiful how she sings, I put on some Al Green, getting her in the mood, not rushing into a thing, I'm feeling like Rick James, we high up, Mary Jane, she the girl in my dreams, she my earth, wind and fire, whenever we be together, no arguing with each other, music keep us together, getting us through the weather, feeling the summer.
summer breeze. Call you my summer girl, like Jodeci, I'm a fiend. Travel around the world, ribbon up in the sky, writing it on the wall. I put on some MJ, she my pretty young thing. We remember the time, so we had to escape down memory lane. All alone, just me and my girl with a song. That's the life that I love, come on.
And welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Boyd, are you there? Well, maybe he stepped away for a minute. Susan, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, I think we met you a day or two after that happened, if I remember. Because I know we've been chatting since January 3rd, so it was just couple days after. So immediately you used the pictures that were taken after that happened to make a statement. Tell us what you did.
Well, I made a Facebook page and put my pictures on it and also put them on my regular Facebook page. But I did that hopefully I could help somebody. And then I contacted the news station and showed them, and the reporter called and set up an interview for the next day to interview me about it.
And you got a lot of response from your Facebook page. You got a lot of response right away, didn't you?
I did. I got like 1,000 likes within a week, I believe. It's pretty cool. I made some great friends.
You've had a lot of women reach out to you. What are some of the things that they're reaching out for and talking to you about?
Some of them have reached out for resources, wanting help to either help friends or their self, you know, just different financial resources or different stuff. And a lot of them have shared their experiences with me, things that have happened to them, and of course, my story is minor compared to a lot of these women. And even there's been a couple men that I brought in and said that they were abused. You know, I mean, my injuries, anyway, were minor compared to some of these ladies that have been stabbed or broken bones. And so I feel very fortunate and blessed.
Well, you're lucky that the cops knocked at your door when they
did. And I forgot to say, my friend, that, you know, if it had been one of my children or something, some of them probably would have just hung up the phone and think, Mom, pocket dialed this, you know, again. But my it used to be a coworker of mine, which is my best friend, and her son happened to answer the phone, and he listened, and he thought somebody was giving him a prank phone call, and then he heard, I guess, me holler. And he gave the phone to his mom and said, I think it's Susan. I think he said it. It sounded like David was hurting me or something. And she got the phone and she listened, and she said she heard me yelling for God at one point, but she couldn't hear real well. But she got on the internet and was trying to find my daughter's phone number, the one daughter, and couldn't find it. And then she found my other daughter's phone number and called her and told her that she thought her dad was hurting me. And then my oldest daughter, she thought, you know, here we go again. They're just fighting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my oldest daughter had called my son to see where he was, and he had been at the bar and wasn't going to be home for a little while. And while all that was happening, Cheryl had heard me yelling for God, and she called my daughter Sherry back and told her, you better get somebody out there quick because he's hurting or she's yelling out for God. And I guess that's when my daughter called 911, and she got there, like I said, within the minute behind the police officer. So we looked at the phone bill, and she was on the phone like 29 minutes before it got disconnected. Hearing all
that,
of this, so
that's
it went on.
A long time to get beat. 29 minutes. That's a long time.
Yeah, and he hit me at least one. I mean, he was asking me questions the whole time, and so he probably hit me at least 30 times, probably.
Wow.
With his fist. Yeah.
Now, is he the father of all your children?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
What are your children? Say it's got to be just
my
so
oldest,
heartbreaking.
Yeah, they all came to the hospital that night except the two younger sons didn't come. The other ones did, and the oldest one, he started crying and he had to turn around and walk out of the room after he seen me. And of course, he wants to kill his father, which if he ever sees his dad, it won't be a pretty thing. And then my oldest daughter, she still has visions even during the day of my face. We're not getting along for other issues, but she's seen her dad like 3 times, and she said she goes up there just thinking that if he has somebody that cares about him and loves him, that maybe he'll leave me alone when he gets out of jail. And then my youngest daughter has disowned him, and the other son probably won't have nothing to do with him. And then the other son, of course, he's just like his dad, so he's pretty neutral, but he said he had a butt kicking coming when he sees him too. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be tough. I mean, not to mention now, you know, he hurt you the way he did, and now they don't have a father out here. And I don't know how close they were before, but it's got to be pretty detrimental.
Yeah, the girls were probably closer to their dad. You know, that's a natural thing sometimes, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably hardest on the oldest daughter. The youngest one's more like me, but her son was 2 when it happened, and I would come and pick him up on my way home from work a lot of nights and take him home with me and then bring him back home the next morning. So he loved his pappy to pieces, and they were really, really close. So,
yeah, and they're so young that they don't really understand what happened. He's just gone.
Well, I tried to stay away from them for a few days till the worst of the swelling and stuff went down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they see me, of course, you know, they didn't know what to think, and I just told them, Pappy hurt me, Ma. And the one boy, he's just a few months older than the other one. They're so 2 and 3, and of course, they said they was going to beat their Pappy up. The youngest one had got a baby wipe and was trying to wipe the bruises off my face.
Oh, so precious.
Yeah, the little one, he told me the other day, he said, when I get big, I'm going to get muscles and be strong and be pappy up for hurting you.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's sad. They love their pappy, and of course,
and
you know, they don't know.
You've got to teach them to treat women with respect and not to hit women.
Yeah, that's what I tell you, Master.
We
were driving down the road, and that's when he said that about getting muscles and beating his pappy up. And I told him, I said, that's why you never hit Mama or hit any other girls. He's getting ready to be 4 now, but and he started crying. I made him feel bad, I guess. But,
nowadays you got to teach kids at a young age, you know, not only not to hit women, you know, you got to teach them about domestic violence. You got to teach them, you know, not to take drugs or alcohol from other kids, because everything happens so young, and they have to learn young so they grow up understanding that.
Right.
Certain things are not acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, the youngest one, he will hit his mama sometimes, and so I tell him, you know, me mom be mad, and you'll go to jail if you hit.
And that is heartbreaking that kids that little have to say those things, you know?
Yeah.
But it happens every day all over the world, and small children are seeing their parents fight. They're seeing, you know, mom or dad get beat up. And like you said, you know, men have contacted you, and it does happen to men, too. It's just not reported as much.
Right. It's a shame. And mm-hmm. on my Facebook page, I see every day where some woman has gotten killed from boyfriends or husbands. And it's so depressing. It's just crazy.
It is. And that's why they need to stay behind those bars for a long time. Because they'll get out and they'll do it again. Go ahead,
boy. Yeah, they need to be on it for a whole lifetime, not for a little while.
Yeah.
Because,
well, if they can lock up somebody. Right, go ahead, finish.
Yeah, me doing a lot of research on this domestic violence thing, it's like every time you let a domestic violence guy go, or you let a sex predator go, or you let somebody go that done killed women and kids and all of that, 9 times out of 10, they're going to repeat that same thing, because that's all they're in the cell thinking about all day long anyway, you know? So
right.
them type of people need to be right where they at until they do racial. They can fight all day in jail, you know what I mean? And start
right.
letting some of these non-criminals go that ain't into hitting women and messing kids around, you know, let some of these non-violent offenders go, these drug dealers that they leave in there for a lifetime, that don't think they wanted a job and a skill and something to do, you know, and leave these predators behind the wall.
All right. Yeah, David told my oldest daughter he should have went ahead and killed me that night.
Now, why would you going to tell somebody, why are you going to tell somebody child that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your own child. Why would you tell him that?
That's crazy, man. Yeah.
Well, he deserves to stay in jail longer than 18 years because he's still thinking the same thing. I mean, he's given you signs in the courtroom that he's going to whack you or something, you know. That he hasn't changed. He's just more angry and wants to get out and get you.
He needs to stay right where he's at.
The one day he went into the courtroom when my son was there. We were out in the hallway. You know, in his shackles and handcuffs, he raised his hands up and shook his little fist up in the air like, I don't know what he was trying to prove there.
Like,
smiled
man,
a little bit.
Stop playing. Right, man, stop
yeah, well,
playing.
When I went to the divorce, he just looked at me and laughed at me. So, anyway.
Yeah, that
dude
was silly.
He did it. He did it to himself and he did it to his family. He destroyed his whole family.
Yeah, along with itself.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
so he's probably
like
more.
That. Go ahead, Miss Susan.
I was going to say, he's probably more upset about going to lose his privilege to hunt and with his guns now, go deer hunting. That's probably what the whole thing is, why he's mad. Because he's a big
wow.
deer hunter.
He can
and that's probably why
now.
He's
a whole lot of deer
more
up- to hunting now.
Yeah. I'm
yeah,
just hoping
a whole
he
lot
thinks.
Of deer.
He's like 170 pounds and 5'9", and he probably, he's cocky. And I'm just thinking he's going to say something to the wrong one in prison,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to get him. If I'm
and
real well,
lot,
they're going to get him.
And they don't care nothing about your 170 pounds and 5'0", because them guys been up there forever and a day, and them lifers don't care nothing about you, period. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Y'all got three
you know,
brothers doing life in prison. They care nothing about no cat coming up there with their chest poked out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the guy that's doing life has nothing to lose.
That's what I'm hoping
right.
he says something to the wrong man. If you can call
and
him
he
man.
Will,
but, yeah.
Then he will just by how you say he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they'll watch you real
tough.
Good.
Yeah. And then maybe I don't
the
have to ever
jail.
Worry about him.
Right, he's in the county jail now, so he's just chilling, you know. When he get in
yeah,
population, that's a whole different ball game.
Exactly. He won't be as tough then.
Oh, not in population. They test up there. They don't even play.
Right. So he deserves what he's going to get.
Well,
and,
no
more.
Doubt,
and more.
And more. When you're doing
right.
women like that and you're hitting somebody that you say you love and you're dogging them out, you deserve everything you got coming in more.
Yeah, he should have been a man, turned around and walked off and cooled off. And if he thought that about me, he should have said, you need to leave before I kill you. And I would have gladly left.
Mm-hmm. If he thought all that, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. It wouldn't have been,
right.
have been about no walk and cool off. If you feel this way about a woman, you shouldn't even be in her life, period, bro. It shouldn't even be no point in no go cool off. Your ass shouldn't
yeah.
be there at all.
Right. And love doesn't hurt.
Right. We went to town earlier that day, and I could see him. He was stinking the whole way. Home, he was gritting his teeth, and I could just see the little motors going in his head, thinking bad stuff. And we live on the up and down these hills, and you go around the curve. We was going down this last hill, and he just sped up so fast, and I said something to him about, dang, slow down. And he said he'd wish there was a bridge up in front of us. And I thought, I thought to myself, I am never getting in a car with him again. That this
I know,
getting
that's
ready.
Right.
I did. I thought, I'm never going anywhere with him again, and I think we're pretty close to the end. I'm going to have to do something. And then that night's when it all blew up, so...
So my question to you, Miss Susan, what advice would you give all these young ladies that's going through that same thing you went through before it gets all the beating and almost dead game? What advice do you give these young girls and these older women?
They need to get out. They need to their man's got tempers like mine. They need to get away. Get out. You know, you can start fresh with nothing if you have to. I've done it 2 or 3 times with 5 children. Of course, I had to be on welfare for a while until I could get a job, but you could do it. You just got to think positive, you know, get rid of those negative thoughts, think positive, and be strong. Get out. Don't
Amen.
Don't wait to be beat on or killed or your kids hurt. You can
Amen
do it.
For that. And on that note right there, Miss Susan, we're going to play you a real good song, and it's called Never Give Up. And we're going to play that song especially for you and other women that's going through that same situation and for the one that we don't want to go through that situation. So we're going to dedicate that song to you tonight. It's called Never Give Up.
Okay.
All right.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots, man.
Can't make no shots. I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's
all
right.
Never give up. number one rule is my family's first. I know you're probably saying this dude trying to preach a sermon. Let me speak because the streets deserve it. At least they learn it, but the pain and the progress. Face to face with the strain of the process. So live your life like a Loch Ness. Anybody can succeed if you compete in the contest. But if you look and you find less, don't digress. Stick with your plan, it's this time's test. And I bet with a little persistence, determination and a little resistance, nothing can stop you from reaching your peak.
Talked a little bit about what you can tell women out there, but you know, and you went through the cycle, and I don't know how much you've learned about the cycle of abuse or how much you know, but you said you went through it, and you know, you went through the violence, the abuse, and then got back together. I mean, and the little things through the years, and then it just kind of escalated to what happened that day. Do you have any advice for women that are going through that cycle of violence that have gone through it several times already?
They just need to get out because it's not going to end. It's going to get worse. They're going to end up dead if they don't.
Exactly. And you know, like you went through it. This you thought was going to be the last day of your life. It was. I just can't even imagine. And there's so many women that are going through the same thing. And, you know, you definitely need to know that there's people out here that can help you. There's people out here that will support you. We have a lot of resources on our website. And Rob also is the author of the book, Never Hit a Woman. And in this book, we have a lot of resources. We tell you what you need to take with you when you need to get out of a bad relationship, where to go, what to do, who to contact. So check out that book on our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And we just want to thank you for being so brave, Susan, to put out your personal pictures on Facebook, because those pictures are not pretty, but you put the pictures of the reality out there to make people understand. And that's your goal now, to help other women and men that are in abusive relationships to get out of those relationships and get away from it. Have you done anything else out in the community, or just your Facebook page and the media?
Yeah, that's all right now. I'd like to do more. So busy working and everything, but I would like to do some kind of walk or something.
Right.
Town.
That's what you mentioned. Now, what about a support group? Do you go to a group, or who's been your biggest support?
My biggest support's been probably my daughter and my friends at work and my other friends. And then the Facebook page has helped me a lot with the other people that's been through it. Because I tried to go to counseling, and that was kind of a joke because we didn't even talk really about what happened. So I just didn't feel like that was for me. My counseling is just talking to my friends and on my Facebook page. So,
right.
And I've got, like I said, the one daughter that will sit and listen to me all day if I needed her. So.
Wow. And why don't you let the people know what your Facebook page is so they can go and show support there?
It is Susan Jones, Survivor of Domestic Violence.
All right. So log into her Facebook, become a friend, and help spread that message to stop domestic violence. People don't need to die being beat to death because somebody's angry. You know, if you're not getting along and somebody's treating you bad, somebody's calling you names, putting you down, telling you you're no good, that's not somebody that loves you. And
no.
You need to really get away from that person. Boyd?
Yeah, beating
you
your self-esteem is not good.
Exactly.
Yes, without a doubt. So we definitely appreciate you being brave enough to come on and share your story, Ms. Susan, you know. And we're going to keep pushing and promoting you like we always do on our pages and the movement page. And we're going to continue getting the word out there like we always do for you. And we're going to keep it out there until we continue letting people understand that this violence kills each and every day and all day, you know. And we have to make awareness every day. And like I said, not just October, just ain't Domestic Violence Awareness Day. To me, every day is Domestic Violence Awareness Day, because if it only happened in October, then, I mean, why would a person just give 1 month to something that killed each and every day? So I never understood that, you know? But every day is Domestic Violence Awareness Day to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's too much out there happening.
Well, Susan, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight and sharing your story. And we know that it's going to touch many women's lives, and it's going to help a lot of women to be able to reach out for help and to be able to get out and overcome. We're going to give you a couple of minutes to just give any shout outs or any last words of encouragement or anything that you can, that you have in your heart, or anything that you want to share.
Oh, gee. I just don't want to see anybody go through what I went through or worse. They need to get out, get help. There's help out there. You know, and it's hard to start over, and you're just not alone. There's people out there that's willing to talk to you, like my Facebook page. I try to talk to everybody that writes to me. I try to say something back to them. I want to help them as much as I can, but I know it's hard to start over, but you can do it. You just got to be strong.
Amen.
Have faith in God, because I know God, I'm not a very religious person, but I guarantee you there was a guardian angel, I know it, in that room with me that night.
Amen.
So I know there's a God, and he's there to help you.
Susan, we have people in the chat room listening tonight, too, and she says, thank you for sharing your story. So there are people out here listening, and they're people are going to continue to listen. And, you know, the show is can be archived 24/7, anytime after the show. So you can share it with your friends. You can put it on your Facebook page. And but just so that you know, there are people out there that you will help.
It's a horrible thing to be beaten, but if I can save one person, my beating was well worth it to me. I'd take another beating to save another life, to save a life. So my beating won't be in vain if I can help somebody.
Amen.
So something good has come out of it.
Well, we are going to close out tonight. We'd like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. And I want to wish my oldest daughter a happy birthday. She turned 28 yesterday. And just to let her know that I love her very much. And, Boyd, do you have any last announcements?
Oh, just letting everybody know that coming up next month, we'll have our new set of clothes coming out. We'll have our toddlers' clothes coming out for the kids, and they will be starting from 2Ts all the way to 6Ts, and we will have our kids' shirts coming out, and maybe medium to the small, and we will have our ladies' shirts coming as well. And you can also log on to our website, to our online store at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And if you haven't got my books yet, log on and get a copy of that Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman. And just check out all the resources we have for different things. And look around, you know, guarantee you'll like something. So we want to just thank everybody once again for tuning in to our show every Wednesday night. And we would like to thank all our supporters around the world who supports us. And we can't say everybody's name. That's why we always say everybody, because everybody know who they are. And we just want to say thank you, and we appreciate it.
And please join us next Wednesday night. We have another special show coming to you with Mr. Leon Benson. He was falsely accused of murder and has been in prison for many, many years, and he is working on getting out. So we will hear from behind the walls, Leon Benson. So please join us next Wednesday night. You'll hear his story. And we're going to go out tonight with one more song. And this is a young man with Grand Slam Records out of Detroit, Michigan, Kendall Day. All for you. Have a great night. Happy Valentine's Day. And have a great week. See you back here next Wednesday night.
Everything is all for you.
From your girl, you was hitting the club. So I'ma show some extra love. And I'ma get fresh as fuck for you tonight.
And I'ma make sure everything's brand new. Everything comes in my body is
brand new.
See the mirror, don't lie. Feeling like that got a nice song. From the ballet, tell him send the bottles of Moscato and Rosé. All of it was okay.
Baby, what you gonna do for me? Cause
everything is all for you.
VIP never felt so lovely. Drinks never looked so bubbly. Don't you just love me?
Love me.
From the club to the telly, what's up? Private suite, can't nobody interrupt. Perfect night for the both of us. And this is how we started out. I'm loving everything you do for me. That's why
everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you, baby.
Everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you, baby.